Phil Vitale's the restaurant critic at the Chicago Tribune. Hi, Phil.
Hi, John.
Did you watch The Exorcist when you were a kid?
Yeah.
Didn't scare you that way?
No, I don't usually have a physical reaction to being scared. No, I think it was scary, but it was, yeah, I mean, I don't recall being terrified. I think Night of the Living Dead scared me more than any other film I've seen.
Yeah, everybody's got their movie. And it's funny, too, because if you're old enough, then the movies that are most impressionable to you when you're 15 or 18 years old or whatever like that were made long enough ago that they aren't that sophisticated. And when you go back and watch them now, this has been my experience at times, you go, really? That scared me then? This doesn't look so scary, not compared to the effects they have today, you know?
I find the suspense gets to me more. I remember you refer when my wife and I first watched Silence of the Lambs. She took a pass on the last 5 minutes of the movie.
That one holds up. We just watched that the other day. Not that movie was made in 1958, but that movie is still really good. And you know what's coming. Although,
right.
You know what? Silence of the Lambs, the last scene where he gets away and then he's looking for somebody. I don't think I have to issue any spoiler alerts here. But anyway, the last scene, I forgot how the movie ended. I'm like, holy cow! Are you kidding?
He's going to go eat his doctor.
Does the governor have too much power? That's our news click at WGNradio.com. Does the governor have too much power? I think that's an interesting question, even for the likes of you, Phil, who follow the restaurant business. I mean, I asked that question online today because of what he's saying about youth sports. So the kids can't play basketball. They can't wrestle now. They said, well, don't worry, we're not canceling it, but you just won't do it in your lifetime. And I think that the governor's head and heart are in the right place, but maybe we should cede some of this authority to somebody besides just that one person. And particularly since not everybody agrees with him. And frankly, I could cherry pick some of his decisions that I don't agree with either. So, you know, maybe the legislature should make the call on these. Or maybe they should at least validate his unending executive orders. 30 days, 30 days, 30 days. It's another emergency. Now it's a policy, right? I mean, we've been doing this since March. And he's just running this entire state the way he thinks we should do it. And again, I think we're lucky to have JB as a governor looking out for your health, but not everybody agrees with that, and I don't own a business. So maybe that power should be shared. That's all I'm saying, Phil.
Well, I think we've got a lot of people that are trying to do the right thing here, but there are conflicting goals, and you're trying to the calculus of human lives versus staggering job loss and economic woe. It's an impossible formula to figure out. You're going to look hard-hearted no matter what you do.
And I have the utmost confidence in Dr. Ezeke, Dr. Arwadi, but frankly, I also like and trust the sort of tough attitude that the mayor has. And yet the mayor and the governor, this is my point, even Lori Lightfoot and J.B. Pritzker do not agree, and they're kind of in the same boat. They're rowing together on this, but now Lori Lightfoot is saying, yeah, it's okay if you shut down Will County or suburban Cook, but we really don't think we need to shut down Chicago. I don't think you get to have it both ways.
Well, she's saying, you do what you want out there, but this is my turf, and I would like these restaurants to be able to be open. I mean, one of the contrary points of the current order is that you can't go to dinner in a restaurant, even those restaurants, and most of them, who have gone through extraordinary lengths and expense to make their environment safe, and at the same time, we're restricting gatherings to 25 people or less. Well, 25 people is a lot of people. And I would venture to say that in many restaurants, if you go in with their 25% capacity and have a dinner, you're going to come into a whole lot less contact than you will in a gathering of 25 people.
312-981-7200 is the phone number. Phil's the restaurant critic at the Chicago Tribune. I don't know if you have any new reviews of restaurants for us, Phil. We always, now that you've been coming on post-COVID, been asking you or our listeners to talk about what your order out or your delivery experience was.
Mm-hmm.
We had Malnati's Pizza delivered to our house last night. It went well.
I had that last week.
We had the loose special thin crust and then the traditional deeper dish for sausage, onions, and green pepper. And we were satisfied with not only the delivery time, the heat, and the taste and texture of the food. The pizza was good. That's my review of my Malnati's.
All right. If you order a loose pizza, you have the option of getting it cut or having it left uncut. So you do it by yourself.
Yeah, well, I let them cut it.
I don't. I think it stays warmer if it's only one piece rather than those little bitty. Every little cut is one more little place for heat to escape, in my view. So I like uncut.
Yeah, maybe I should tell them to do that. They cut it, of course, like a pie. I would cut it, if I were on my own, in a grid. I would go up and down and across. I would cut it that way, the way Aurelio's does, but that's just me.
Mm-hmm.
It's funny because I order it, and they got me in the system, so they go, "What you had last time?" And I go, "Oh, as it turns out, yeah." And then from the other room, Brenda says, "Make sure you leave a good tip." Because they asked, "Do you want to leave a tip on your credit card for your delivery person?" And I said, "Sure, I do." Brenda and I don't always talk about what those tips are. Her good tip is sometimes different than mine, but it was a good. I left a good tip.
That's good. Yeah, I always like to tip in advance on the pizza deliveries because then there's no contact. They usually give me a quick text or a quick call on the phone when they're in the driveway, bring it to the door, skedaddle, and then I pick up my pizza.
You are still ever safe, aren't you? You are still as careful a person about this as I know, Phil Vitale.
I try to be. It's very important, and the stakes are so high that everything that some people think is like a step too far, you really don't have to do that. I see as a no risk proposition. Wiping down your groceries, they
you
say you don't
do
really have to.
Do you still do
I
that?
I still do that.
Wow.
Sure, why not?
I don't know why not, but I'll tell you, you're the only person I know that does that.
Wow. It takes me maybe 2 minutes. It doesn't cost much. It costs less than a nickel, if that, and then it's done.
Okay, let's do this. Phil Vitale, restaurant critic, Chicago Tribune. We're getting some phone calls for Phil. I'm not surprised, of course. You can also text. Where did you eat? What did you eat? How did it go? Where did you eat? What did you eat? How did you go? Call in, please. We'd like to hear from you. Also, one of the restaurants that is going to defy the governor's orders is on a phone line, and some of you want to talk about how much power the governor is influencing or exerting over these restaurants. And by the way, lots of calls for you, Phil. Will you just chat this up with us a little bit?
Sure.
Before I do take these calls, though, any other foods you want to mention, places you've eaten or you want to talk about?
No, I was kind of embarrassed because a few days ago I had a thin crust loo delivered to my house. So you pretty much took my story.
What are you, the restaurant critic at the Chicago Tribune?
Yes, I am.
Charlotte,
last I looked.
Charlotte, you're on WGN. What do you want to say? Hi.
Hi. I agree with you. Should all this power be invested in the governor to shut down businesses, livelihoods? Unfortunately, if you turn it over to the legislature, you have one man, Michael Madigan, who's been running this state for decades. No piece of legislation sees the light of day.
Yeah.
But, is there existing legislation right now that the governor is operating under to give him this supreme power to take away people's livelihoods?
Well, that's a good question. I mean, there is, but the question is he overdoing it? Literally, legally, is he exerting more influence than he should be able to have? In fact, one of our listeners said, John, I don't think the governor has too much power. I think he thinks he has too much power, and that's the point. His power is checked by the legislature and the courts, and it's past due for everybody to follow those processes. So you've got that in Geneva now, Phil, right? That Foxfire restaurant is challenging. So of all the restaurants in the state, or at least in the metro area of Chicago, everybody's under severe restrictions, if they're open at all. But one restaurant has won a a stay, they're able to continue to operate.
That was very strange to me, but okay.
Well, okay, schmokey. I mean, this may be the straw that breaks the governor's back.
Well, yeah, I guess if someone's going to try a class action suit as to you, in reference to your caller saying, you know, the legislature has power to, well, yeah, there no one's stopping the legislature from meeting and addressing this this topic, and I think they just don't want to mess with it right now. They're very happy to let Pritzker be the adult in the room and take all the heat.
Okay, but that doesn't make that adult is making the right decisions all of the time.
No, but somebody has to do something, and he's so far the only one actually wanting to step up and say, yeah, we have to do something about this.
Well, and he is taking the heat for it. You know that old saying, elections have consequences? Well, here it is. You voted for JB, this is what you get. You didn't know that we were going to have a pandemic and how he would govern as a result of that. And this isn't even saying, well, you've got the wrong guy in office, but I'm saying he's our governor. So there you go. Mark, what did you want to say? You're on WGN.
Hi. I live down near Peoria, and I'm taking the train up coming up on the 14th of November to see a couple of exhibits, one at the Art Institute, and now where am I supposed to eat for lunch?
Well, carryout, I'm afraid, will be available at various restaurants. They don't have to close. You just can't sit indoors.
So you're going to get your food, and then you're going to go sit in your car or out on a park bench.
Right, or in a heated tent if that happens to be one of the
But you're going to
things
be downtown.
That they offer
there. You're at the Art Institute. You're downtown.
Right.
Okay, the Beacon. You can eat sort of outside at the Beacon. It's a short walk north, right up past the river, turn left over by Trump Tower. And there's this place that's actually not too bad, right, Phil? The Beacon. And they've got fire tables there, and I would get a sandwich there.
Oh, well, great idea. Thank you.
Good luck, Mark. Dave, are you there? You're on WGN Radio. How are you, Dave Sammer?
Hi, John. Good morning. Morning, Phil. Dave Sammer from the Polo Inn.
Hi there, Dave.
Hey. Well, Dave. I was going to say we're still open, but I don't know. What the heck's going to happen? We took our restaurant, which normally seats up to 50 seats anyhow, and moved it to our adjoining banquet hall, which seats up to 100 people, just to spread us out and give us the social distancing and follow the guidelines and wear masks and have signs on the doors and have signs on the tables. And you must wear your mask while you talk to your server, and you can only take your mask off when you eat and drink. We don't have a bar that people hang out at. People just want to have a meal.
And what's happened to your restaurant?
Well, people are still coming in. We put out some outdoor seating at one point, but that's going to be gone as the weather keeps changing. So people have been everybody's sort of learning new habits and new
behavior. Where is the
Polo?
Where's the Polo Inn located, Dave?
We're in Bridgeport, 3322 South Morgan. We're in our 36th year. I don't want to close.
You're supposed to, though, right? You're not supposed to seat people indoors. Will you seat people indoors?
We'll follow the guidelines. I'm not going to break the law. That doesn't make any sense. But on the other hand, I think this should be thought through a lot more, maybe more regionally, maybe neighborhood by neighborhood even. If we're doing it right, and we have been doing it right, why should we be forced to close when there's no really statistics that say going to my restaurant will be hazardous to your health?
What's the specialty at your place? What do people go for?
A lot of grilling. We have a char grill that steaks and chops and lamb chops and burgers. Well, we have a 7-ounce burger from our 12-ounce burger that became real popular. We've done it. We went to BYOB just to cut our bill to everybody so they could maybe not have to spend so much money and still go out and still patronize the local restaurants that we are and that I am. carryout has become more, but we're not known for carryout. So it became to teach people to go to call us instead of calling to your local Lou Malnati's, which is where we go. But go to your local restaurant for carryout. And so a lot of us had to switch over more to how do we do that? And people come through our restaurant. Instead of seating in a restaurant, we use that strictly for the carrying out for the foot traffic back and forth, so that those folks are not in any way involved with the people who are dining in.
Dave, I thought you guys were one of the restaurants that was going to defy the governor's orders, although it wouldn't do you any good to go on the radio and say that because flag you.
We're for Bridgeport. We don't mess around.
In Bridgeport, the cops are on your side anyway, so I wouldn't worry about it.
Be kind, King.
Phil, what do you want to say?
I just want to remind everybody, and as Dave knows, the governor's latest order takes effect on Friday. So dining indoors is very much a thing today and tomorrow.
There have been
rumblings that the mayor is pleading with Governor Pritzker to reconsider or adjust his order, and so everybody's waiting in hopes that maybe they can negotiate some less restrictive.
Okay, I get that, but that's quite a pickle for the governor. Not that that's Dave's problem, but I mean, so really, Lori Lightfoot sort of lobbied for the Chicago restaurants. Well, what about the ones in Naperville? What about the ones not in the city, right?
Right. Well, the governor's controlling what he can control. I mean, ideally, the science seems to be pretty much in agreement that people are getting infected more often than not in their own homes, with having visitors in and spreading that way, indoor space.
Yeah.
No, not particularly sophisticated ventilation systems like that. But he could try, but nobody can ban the number of people you can have in your own house. It's completely unenforceable. So he's,
this is the thing he can't control. I get
the one
that
indoor atmosphere he can control.
I'm out of time, guys. Dave, at the Polo Inn in Chicago, that's on Morgan Street, right?
Yes, it is. And we're only about a mile west of what used to be Comiskey Park. So now it's a guaranteed rate fee.
Yeah.
So yeah, we're still there. We do a big Christmas business with our cookie trays and gifts. So we're online, thepoloinn.com. We need all the help we can get, like every small business. We're trying to keep our payroll going. So thanks so much, John, for having me. Phil, come visit us. We'd love to have you and Paula. And bring Oliver.
He's actually coming in next month, so that's a possibility.
All right, we're out of time, guys. Nice to hear you, Dave.
Bye now.
Phil, good to talk to you as always.
All right.
Hey, next time, Phil, let's talk about the cookie contest at the Tribune, too.